across America and around the world. You're listening to America's number one program for veterans, Veterans Radio. And now, live from the studios of WDEO in Ann Arbor, Michigan, here's your host for today's program, former CB Chulai, 1966 Republic of Vietnam, Gary Lilly.
And good morning, everybody. Boy, I love hearing that introduction by Matt Durr. You are getting so good, Matt, just not just on the control board, but I like the way you are on the air. And sitting here in the room is former 190 slick pilot for the 195th Assault Helicopter Company, Sky Chiefs, Dale Thronberry.
Yes, and good morning, Gary, and welcome to Veterans Radio. I'm really excited. We've got an excellent program this morning.
Indeed,
I'm really excited to find out what you're going to be talking about.
And very, very upbeat. We've got an intern over in the control room, Kai. Can you say hello to all the folks, Kai? What is Kai's last name?
Brennan.
Good morning, Kai.
Good morning. How's it going over there?
Real good. Say hello to America. Good
hello,
morning, America.
America.
And we want to say... Kai's a little bit not used to that. I pulled that on you kind of out of the blue. You weren't ready for that one, were you?
You did. It was sort of by surprise.
Right. Well, it's good to have you here, Kai. Looking forward to seeing you every week. And good morning to all our troops overseas. Welcome to Veterans Radio. You're doing a fabulous job that us older vets really admire you for, and mean that from the bottom of my heart. Good morning to my my veteran brothers and sisters, and welcome home. And to all those troops in every other continent, I keep telling you, we've got every continent so far except Antarctica, and we want to hear from somebody down in Antarctica. Giving up on American troops, maybe we can get some Soviets or somebody like that.
Hey, we want to tell everybody's stories.
Exactly. There's a whole bunch of people down in Antarctica. It's summer for them right now, right?
I think it's all relative.
Okay. Well, I mean, it'll be
it's summer. It's minus 10 or 20.
Right. And as Dale said, we've got a great program lined up today. It's about Operation SAS, which was a program put on for wounded warriors and by Operation Never Forgotten. We're going to have John Kinzinger on here to introduce three of the people that took place in it: Kathy Champion, Joe Perez, Peter Cabral. And we've got the Army, the Air Force, and the Marines represented there. And just hear about a fabulous week that these people were treated to, all expenses paid, and the enthusiasm you'll hear from them will be great. Dale, is there anything you wanted to say before?
Yeah, there's a couple of things I wanted to say. Number one is that the Operation Never Forgotten, for those of you out there that are driving around America, periodically you probably see these big giant billboards that say something to the effect of support your troops or welcome home and so on. And if you're watching our webcast, which you can do by going to our website, veteransradio.net, we're going to be flashing a couple of those billboards up as we're talking. It's just a great organization, and I'm really pleased that we're able to have them on the program to talk about what they're doing and the program that they put on out west. I mean, these people are out skiing, rock climbing, all kinds of different things. It sounds like a great opportunity for our veterans to let them know that we really do care about them, and we want to make sure that their transition is as easy as possible.
And when you hear that the physical injuries that they had to overcome and still do these things, you're going to say, you're going to be pretty embarrassed if you ever say, oh, that's kind of hard, or I don't want to do that.
That's right, yeah. Oh, I'm just too tired, or I just can't do that. I mean, you're going to be amazed at the stories that these men and women have to tell today. I think I'm really excited to listen myself.
It's going to be a bit humbling to some of us.
It is true. I also want to remind people out there that if you want to support Veterans Radio, this is our transition into that, we want to thank everybody that has supported us in the past. We've been kind of self-funded over the last 7.5 years, close to 350 programs for you, our listeners, and we're asking for your support to Veterans Radio, and we've come up with an arrangement with Ave Maria Radio where you can make a tax-deductible contribution to support Veterans Radio. All you have to do is write out your check to Ave Maria Radio, and down in the little memo line, put Veterans Radio, and send that off to Ave Maria Radio, Box 504, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106. That's Ave Maria Radio, Box 504, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106. We can't tell you how much we appreciate that.
And to the people that have sent us checks, thank you very much. Much appreciated. Is that address on our website?
I don't know if it's on our website or not yet, because that's the other thing we're going to be, we're looking to update our website. It's 7 years old, and so there may be some construction on our site in the next couple of weeks, so pay attention to that.
I think
we're trying to get everything updated
now, don't they?
Yeah, they do have color. I understand that. We're still working in pastels or black and white.
Okay, real good. And so let's welcome some troops home.
Okay, this is a real pleasure that we have every week on Veterans Radio, and that's to welcome home troops. And each week we welcome home servicemen and women who have been stationed around the world in the service of our country. We want to hear from you about your troops, your sons and daughters, husbands, wives, aunts and uncles who are coming home. Go to veteransradio.net and send us an email. Dateline, Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, a larger-than-normal crowd organized by Welcome Home a Hero was on hand to help the United States military commemorate the arrival of its 1 millionth soldier on break from deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan. Every day, between 150 and 275 service members fly into Dallas-Fort Worth to begin 2 weeks of rest and recuperation leave. You remember old R&R, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We had a different name.
Never mind. The troops, the military marked its millionth returnee last month, but used last Tuesday's arrival to also recognize the more than 10,000 program volunteers who have helped families and friends greet returning soldiers since 2004. This organization has been there every single day at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport to welcome these troops home. That's very admirable. I don't want to thank them myself. Fort Campbell, Kentucky, 275 troops of the 1st Brigade, 187th Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade Combat Team of the 101st Screaming Eagles Airborne Division returned home from Afghanistan on Friday. Since March, 105 soldiers of the division have been killed in the deadliest year since 2005 and 6 Iraqi deployment for the 101st. The flights will continue as the rest of the 17,000 101st Airborne soldiers currently deployed complete their year-long tour. And finally, Dateline, Tyler, Texas. Army Infantry Sergeant Jared Moses and Army Specialist Chase Downey were greeted by family and friends at Tyler Pounds Regional Airport on New Year's Eve. The welcome home had extra meeting for Sergeant Moses. It was the first time Sergeant Moses met his 4-year-old son, Ledger. Moses is home on a 14-day leave. Downey, however, feels even better because he's home for good. After spending 2 years in the field, Downey has served in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Thank you both for your service. Welcome Home is sponsored by the Marine Scholars Program of Ave Maria University. Visit them online at avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. On behalf of a grateful nation and all of us at Veterans Radio, welcome home.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Well, we're back on Veterans Radio. We're going to have a really upbeat program today. It's about, I'm going to let John Kinzinger, one of the organizers of it, describe what Operation SAS is for us. Good morning, John Kinzinger.
Good morning, Gary.
Tell us about Operation Never Forgotten and the Operation SAS that came out of Operation Never Forgotten.
Well, Operation Never Forgotten began with Linda Kelly meeting a wonderful Gold Star mother named Peg O'Donnell, who asked Linda asked her, "What can I do?" And she said, "Never let my son and the others' sacrifices be forgotten." Therefore, Operation Never Forgotten. I joined up with her in 2007. We got 501c3 and got the whole Operation Never Forgotten rolling. We create and put out billboards across the nation, not only on highways but in airports, in most of the major airports east of the Rockies. We're in the Mall of America. We've been in Times Square in New York. And the messages are, you know, support the troops, support the families, support the wounded, and be concerned and care for, you know, the fallen and their families.
These are digital billboards that use actual photographs of troops. Is that not right?
Gary, these are really pieces of art. If you happen to go online and you go to the billboard gallery, you can see most every one that we've created and is out there for the outdoor advertising people to just pick up, put on whenever they don't have a paid customer, so they do them PSA.
Linda Kelly is one of the most talented people that I've seen when it comes to billboards and websites and such. This is a real blessing, the two of you coming together.
Well, it was, sir, Gary, you're perfectly right. And this whole, Linda Kelly is so creative, but she, you know, needs the experienced soldier, veteran, you know, to knock things around and this idea is good, this is bad, this is good, you know, let's do something else with this picture. And that's what John Luckwood, who lives here locally, is a wounded warrior from Iraq, and I and just a handful of other people do. It's amazing what just a small group of people can do.
It's astounding to me. I would think this is a big corporation, but what you do is a small group. You've created a board of directors. Who's on that board of directors?
Well, we have General Henderson, who lives here locally in Michigan. We have John Lockwood, who is a Marine who was severely wounded in Iraq. We have Ed Zuri, who is a retired Navy captain. He was the head of the Naval ROTC here at the University of Michigan. And that's really how Linda and I got connected when she was living here. He retired, and they moved out to Bozeman. Now, the whole Operation SAS, which is Operation Sports the Field and Stream, was really the brainstorm of Linda Kelly, and we knocked it around back and forth, and she said, "This is something I could think we could really pull off," and I said, "Okay, I'm with you." And that was 10 months ago or so. And if you look at the website for OperationSAS.org, SAS is Sports the Field and Stream, so it's OperationSAS.org. You can go and see what we put together and we achieved. But it took the 41 young men and women who came to make this the success it was. It was, you know, free to them. But
How much money did you raise?
About $45,000.
That's amazing. Plus, I'm sure there was a lot of donated time.
We had, Gary, we had Big Sky Montana, which is an upscale resort. They donated 20 rooms. You know, everybody donated 20 rooms. The mushers who, on the dog sledding, brought out their 70 dogs and their six sleds, and they didn't charge us anything. Everybody came together in Montana. What a wonderful, great state that is. Even Senator Kester was involved. He came to the banquet, and he's one of their two state senators. Now, the real story, Gary, is we're Vietnam veterans, and, you know, our motto is, never again shall a veteran come home alone and unappreciated. And that's as far as I'm going to go. I want to hear from the young people who we have coming on.
I do, too,
it's their story.
Have a memorial service to go to, unfortunately. One of our Vietnam veteran brothers.
Ken Parks.
Parks, right, who also served in Iraq, one of the old guys.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, he was
great. Gary, bless you and bless all of our troops. Keep them in your hearts. Keep them in your prayers. And go America. God bless them.
And God bless you, John, and Linda Kelly, and everybody else for what you're doing with Operation Never Forgotten and Operation SAS.
Bless you all.
Matt, how do I turn him off without disconnecting? You'll do it? Okay. I'm going on to line two. And I'm a novice at this. I keep telling everybody, never let me touch a button. If you ever see a mushroom cloud over here at Domino's Farms, you know they turned me loose on an electronic device. Right now, we want to welcome Kathy Champion, who's one of the most energetic, enthusiastic people I've ever talked to, a Lieutenant Colonel, Army Civil Affairs. She's in Gulfport, Florida. And Kathy, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I thought I'd cut you off there for a moment. Kathy, tell us about yourself. You were wounded and were selected to go on Operation SAS. What kind of a wound did you receive over in Iraq? Was it Iraq or Afghanistan?
I was in Iraq. I got wounded. I injured my arm and my leg, and I also lost my vision. But the opportunity to go to Operation SAS was by far a surprise to me, because a good friend of mine called and said, let's make it happen. I'm like, what? And he connected me with John, and before I knew it, I was headed to Montana, Big Sky.
And your injuries came about as a result of 7 separate IEDs?
Correct. Unfortunately, my vehicle was a hot ticket.
You're a popular lady there, huh?
Yes.
Well, tell us about your experience with Operation SAS. You heard about it by a phone call from one of your friends?
Yes, a good friend of mine I met at the Blind Veterans Association up in Washington, D.C., said that this would be a good opportunity for me to meet other veterans and Gold Star mothers. And I said, okay, where are we going? And since I'm from Florida, thinking of Montana in winter, didn't jive right away.
But it turned out okay.
It turned out fabulous. I got an opportunity to climb Ice Mountain, and climbing ice was like one of the things on my list to do, because I enjoy outdoor activities and I enjoy a challenge. And since I hadn't climbed when I was visually impaired, I thought, well, why not? I'm going to do it. And given the opportunity, I went up on the mountain and I summited. And it was the most awesome experience to sit up there with the snow falling in my face and everybody yelling at me from down below that I summited. It was a cool experience.
Pardon me?
My dog was sitting down at the bottom looking up at me as everybody was telling me, she wants to come with you.
You took your dog with you?
Oh, yes, my eyes were everywhere with me.
Right. Of course, what's the matter with me? I heard that your yell from the top of the mountain could be heard across the valley.
Well, from what I understood, that was true. I still wanted to keep climbing. They wanted me down. I wanted to keep climbing.
Then we're going to go to who's over on line 3, Joe Perez. Joe was a Marine. He was injured at a riot at Abu Ghraib. Joe, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning. Outstanding. This is great. Glad to be listening to Kathy's voice. I already miss her from Operation SAS.
You guys became really close out there, didn't you? All of the warriors and the mentors and the sponsors.
It's amazing the amount of how close we get to each other. Missing the military. Also, Kathy has that beautiful dog, and I'm a dog lover myself.
That's all you wanted.
Tell us about your injury and what happened to you. You were at Abu Ghraib. Your unit organized it, didn't they not?
Our unit was 7th into Iraq during Operation Shock and Awe, and we started the camp, which was at Abu Ghraib, and we built and established that prison. It wasn't until after my injuries and after our unit left that it became a little bit more
infamous,
should I say, later on.
Let's just get one thing straight. What the guards did was not right, but it was also, as I'd say about Mili when I'm talking to kids, what's notable about Mili, the massacre in Vietnam, what's notable about it is it's notable. This is not the average American kid, this is not the average American that does things like this, but, you know, you've had things, bad things happen at universities, so it can happen anywhere when you've got a big enough group of people, and when you're in the intense stress of a war. So what you guys, and also the other point that people seem to overlook is the folks that are in Abu Ghraib, I'm going to call it Abu Ghraib, that's how they say it here, these are pretty evil people.
Exactly. And it took a long time of counseling and soul searching and realizing that things happen. And you can't control everybody.
These are not people that were in there stealing hubcaps. These people...
Exactly. And the spirit of the whole thing is that, I wouldn't badmouth any of our military. I mean, we put them in harm's way, and they get the job done.
Exactly. They get it done. I want to tell you, I've said it over and over again, us Vietnam vets and the older vets admire the job that you guys are doing. You're good. You're professional. You were paralyzed in that riot, but let's leave Abu Ghraib behind us and tell us about your experience at Operation SAS.
Oh, wow. Operation SAS was fantastic.
It's still sinking into a lot of you, isn't it?
It really is. I was sent over there, and I didn't know what I was going to be doing. I didn't really care, just the fact of knowing that I was going to be around other angel warriors, and I feel comfortable around them. It was fantastic, but when we got over there and everything was, five star. It was just wonderful.
You were a Marine, and there was an opening gathering, an opening dinner, and everybody social get together. You met a Lance Corporal. Former Lance Corporal in the Marines. Could you tell us about that experience?
Well, right before the whole event took place, I met a gentleman in a nice suit and a bow tie with his wife, and he was very friendly, and he asked me what service I was with. I said the United States Marine Corps, and I could just see that he kind of poofed up a little. He told me about his experiences in Vietnam as a Lance Corporal, and we kind of bonded, and he asked me if I would sit at his table, and it wasn't until later on that evening that they asked him to come up and say a few words that I realized that he was the Lieutenant Governor of Montana, and of course, you know, being a gunnery sergeant and him being a Lance Corporal, I kept hackling him about being a Lance Corporal. And every time I called him Lance Corporal, you could just see his chest puff up. I mean, he was just enthralled with knowing that people were considering him still to be a Marine. I mean, I'm sure he's proud of being a Lieutenant Governor, but that was fantastic.
What an experience. Once a Marine, always a Marine, as they say. And us, us Seabees worked for you guys over there in Vietnam. What was the favorite thing that you did over there as an event or as an exercise, Joe?
I really did enjoy the dog sledding, the peacefulness, and working, seeing how it actually, how these dogs just, you know, knock bits to get the job done, and then they just take off, and once they're running, they're just quiet as church mouses, and it's just very, very serene. I went with Kathy's partner and snowmobiling also, and that was fantastic also.
How much paralysis do you have?
It's mostly on the left side. I have double vision, so most of the time people don't realize that I'm just closing one eye because I'm just tired of looking at two of them. So...
serving in the military can be a gift that keeps on giving, right?
Exactly. It's about keeping your humor up and working with each other, you know. And something like this, even though we had, you know, paralysis going on, we had amputees, traumatic brain injuries at different degrees. One gentleman had it completely severe, and I mean, just to see him swimming up that ice thing, that meant a lot to me. I was able to go ice climbing the first group, and I could have went down and had hot chocolate down in the parking lot and waited for him, but that's not where the action was. That wasn't where these guys needed the motivation, and I went back up the hill, and because it was just heart-wrenching seeing everybody going up there, and seeing Kathy summit and Peter summit. That ice climb was just, I don't know, to me it was medication to the soul.
And that was that's a good segue into introducing Peter Cabral. And I'm going to have to ask you, Matt. He's on a separate line, Matt Dury. How do we get Peter on the line? Is he on there already? I can talk to him. I can say good morning. Okay, good morning, Peter.
Good morning to you, sir.
You're coming in nice and clear.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. Yeah, and you're on a cell phone because you're traveling right now, correct?
Yes, that is correct, yes.
Okay. Tell us, your injury, did that take place in Iraq or Afghanistan? It took place here in the United States while you're in the service. What happened?
Well, it's funny. I was rock climbing this whole day, and this whole evening anyway, and then on the way home from rock climbing, I got into an accident with a tree. There's no telling why or how it happened, but... Well, definitely how I just hit a tree, but I have no explanation other than that. So, and that gave me traumatic brain injury, as well as right-sided hemiparesis, meaning like I'm partially paralyzed on the right side.
You told me something interesting that, with after Operation SAS, but it was after the accident, really. About your attitude on life before the accident and after accident. Would you tell us what you told me last night?
Well, you know, I was pretty pessimistic. I had shared in special operations. I had, I went to school full time. I was studying political science to get an international law degree. And so, you know, with all that in my brain, I just didn't really think a lot optimistically about anything. So it wasn't until I actually got into this accident, and I was in the hospital for 3 months, you know, I didn't lose my faith or I didn't get depressed. I, for some reason, was optimistic. And that's what helped me, that's what truly, truly helped me recover. Hands down.
That's tremendous. How did you hear about Operation SAS?
I was thumbing around on the Wounded Warriors website. And I wanted to go somewhere. And I was just looking through it, and I saw Montana. I was like, what is this? Operation SAS. It sounds pretty high speed. So I checked it out more and more, and then next thing you know, I get a call from John, and... Like I told you yesterday, like he made it sound like I didn't make it in to the you know, they weren't gonna accept my registration, and I was kind of like you know, filling it out, and I was like being polite and still, but I was kind of depressed that he was gonna let me stay in, and then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, you're in. I was like, holy man, I'm in. Like, yeah, you're in. I was like, excellent. And from that day forward, we're just great friends.
And the reason why you were searching was because you had tried to get onto a VA, Veterans Administration ski trip.
And, yes.
And you didn't make that one.
No. Those are winter skiing competition in New Hampshire. Yeah, I'd done it last year. It was fun, but I didn't make it this year. And I was like, I was feeling depressed. They failed me, and then I was trying to get in with another organization as well, and they dropped me as well. I was like, okay.
All right. We're going to come back to the rest of the story after this break. You're listening to Veterans Radio, talking about Operation SAS, and we'll be back right after this message.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them.
First Lieutenant Lloyd Burke killed more than 100 North Korean soldiers in a one-man assault on their position. Details after this.
College isn't cheap. In fact, it can be downright expensive. But the Air Force has a way for you to get that college education. If you attend classes while on active duty, we'll pay up to 100% of your tuition. And you could have more than $35,000 for school waiting for you through the GI Bill. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on to airforce.com. This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force and this station.
Intense Enemy Fire had pinned down leading elements of his company, committed to secure commanding ground. When Burke left the command post to rally and urged the men to follow him toward three bunkers, impeding the advance. Dashing to an exposed vantage position, he threw several grenades at the bunkers. Then returning for an M1 rifle and adapter, he made a lone assault, wiping out the position and killing the crew. Closing on the center bunker, he lobbed grenades through the opening and, with his pistol, killed three of its occupants attempting to surround him. Ordering his men forward, he charged the third emplacement, catching several grenades in midair and hurling them back at the enemy. Inspired by his display of valor, his men stormed forward, overran the hostile position, but were again pinned down by increased fire. Securing a light machine gun and three boxes of ammunition, Burke dashed through the impact area to an open knoll, set up his gun, and poured a crippling fire into the ranks of the enemy, killing approximately 75. Although wounded, he ordered more ammunition, reloading, and destroying two mortar emplacements and a machine gun position with his accurate fire. Cradling the weapon in his arms, he then led his men forward, killing some 25 more of the retreating enemy and securing the objective. Burke's heroic action and daring exploits inspired his small force of 35 troops.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
We're back on Veterans Radio, and I want to pick up on that last commercial we played for the VFW. There are organizations out there that you young troops should be joining, and I'll tell you why. There's a great draw to creating your own organizations, and I can understand that. I'm a member of Vietnam Veterans of America, but you know it's the older organizations that have got the money to do the program. So get involved, and besides that, you'll be sitting around peers. Might be different wars, but get involved, and it's a way of healing. Believe me, it's a way of healing. Oh boy, Kathy, we're back with you. You went out there with your dog because you're blind and you climbed an ice wall that's created by a waterfall that's frozen over. Is that right?
Correct.
How high was it? Do you know?
Well, I have no clue. I just kept going forward or up.
Okay.
Peter and Joe could tell you how tall it was.
What's that?
Peter and Joe could probably give you a better idea how tall it was.
Okay. You've got another. I want you to get a plug in for something that you're doing to help the modern day vet. What are you doing about the motels?
I am opening up two motels, one here in Tampa, another one in Savannah, for transitioned housing for soldiers to give them an opportunity to have some time and have all the resources provided to them at one location instead of hunting down resources. And the people that will be working at the facilities will help find them the things that they will need, from getting a job, from getting their benefits taken care of, from getting their medical treatments taken care of. And at this one place, they can bring their families. So it's not like the Fisher House. It's more a all-inclusive kind of program. So if they need counseling, they can get it on the site and not have to be stressed. And they get an opportunity to spend time with other soldiers that are going through the same process.
And that's the biggest healing part of all. It doesn't come for free. What is your fundraising campaign?
My fundraising campaign, I'm looking at trying to raise $5 million for the startup fee and $10 million for sustainment fees. And I am ecstatic to say that I do have people that are stepping up to the plate and helping me. And I continually want to have more people step up to the plate and help us.
Wonderful.
I find that veterans help veterans well.
And if there's anybody out there that wants to get in touch with Kathy, just send me an email, gary@veteransradio.net, and I'll pass your information on to Kathy. Be proud to do that. Kathy,
thank
you climbed
very much.
The,
I appreciate that.
You climbed the ice wall. What was it like when you first arrived there at Big Sky?
I was a little nervous because, one, it was freezing. And, two, I did not know the surroundings. And when I don't know my surroundings, I get real nervous and apprehensive. But I ran into a few gentlemen, Joe and Peter, and they picked on me. And it seems to make me relax when people pick on me. So it kind of put me in my place with them Marines.
What's
well,
that?
Between a Marine and an Air Force person, you know, they look at ground pounders.
You had a social hour that night, and so everybody was there. What was going on in the social hour? I understand Lee Greenwood was there to greet you.
Yes, and we got to meet Peggy O'Donnell. We also got to meet Kevin Midvitz, and we met Mark Hoffemeyer, who is a soldier still on active duty. He's Lieutenant Colonel of an engineering battalion up in Alaska, and it was a neat experience to see some people giving back. And what I found amazing that evening is that even us soldiers were willing to give back too, because I guess we're always indebted to our fellow officers and enlisted, and we believe in each other, so we're going to pay it forward. And it was really amazing how many of us stepped up to the plate to pay it forward to each other.
The thing about veterans and active duty military, there's an understanding. Military's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, week after week, month after month, and you really get to know other people. And it's not a couple paragraphs in a history book or an article in the newspaper. This is the military is people. It's people, and just like you guys, and you. There's a special bond between those that have been there and a special understanding. So you have to admire people like Lee Greenwood, who is so dedicated to the veterans. What was the banquet
yes,
like
the,
on the last
I had
night,
the opportunity
Kathy?
To see Lee Greenwood in Iraq, so to know that he was willing to come to a dangerous area, and where we were was not exactly your most friendly neighborhood back in 2005, 2006. And yet he was willing to come and inspire the troops to stay positive and to believe in our country. And troops believe in America. And that's who we're fighting for, is our freedoms in America.
He's a bit like the Bob Hope of our time. And
yes, he is. I would definitely put him in that category.
So what, other than climbing, what was your next most memorable experience on that, Kathy?
I had an opportunity to go into Yellowstone Park, and this young man, he was a 10-year-old boy, sat next to me in the snow coach, and he was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "Oh, he's a kid being quite blunt." I'm like, "Well, I'm blind." And he goes, "That's all?" I'm like, yeah.
Oh, my. Kids are wonderful.
Yes, and from that point on, he took pictures for me, and I have some fabulous pictures because of this little man. And at the end of our ride, he gave me one of his crystals, his quartz crystals, to help me heal. And it was quite touching. It brought back reality of that, you know, little people just put it out there.
Yes.
Sometimes we get messed up on what it is, and they just make it pretty blunt. What's wrong with you? I'm blind. Oh, okay.
I maintain that school teachers have the best jobs in the world. Boy, it keeps you young. And I don't care how much of a pain in the neck they are, they're fun.
Yeah.
Joe, you had talked about the dog sledding, right? Joe Perez? Hello, Joe? Well, Peter, are you there?
You see him, sir.
Okay. Matt, did we lose Joe? No, maybe he's okay. Peter, what was your most outstanding memory of the whole week?
it's a toss-up between Yellowstone and climbing, ice climbing. I think that was the best. It was I was a rock climber before I was injured, and I used to travel around the world climbing beautiful mountains, and I hadn't really climbed since my accident, so to be here and go ice climbing for the first time was, there's no words to describe what I felt. Especially seeing everybody, you know, even Kathy was so funny, like, just her dog was even more hilarious, just watching the dog, he was crying for her because he was scared she was going to fall. You could see, he was terrified. It was hilarious.
Kathy's dog was?
Yes. It was, do you hear me okay? I'm getting I'm hearing my voice come back to me at the same time.
Oh, sorry, we don't hear an echo here. If you can live with it, then that's fine. Otherwise, we'll call you back. Which do you prefer?
Oh, I'll just live with it.
Okay.
A little worse.
There was something else came out of this trip for you. Something to do with Argentina?
Well, potentially, yeah. I was invited to go rock climbing with this fellow's name was Tim. I don't know his last name. And he has a team that goes to seven different countries, seven tallest peaks in the world, and he gives them the opportunity, people with prosthetic legs and, you know, who are really badly injured but who are in very good shape even still, and mentally, physically, they can do it, and no kidding, they do it, and he invited me along with him as well.
How fabulous. Missing that VA trip sure paid off for you.
That it did.
Joe Perez, you're back, are you?
Yes, I am. Sorry, we got cut off right when you started talking to me.
Okay. Sorry about that. Are you on the road, Joe?
Sorry.
Yes, I am. Actually, I'm heading to Las Vegas with my daughter to take her to a gymnastics meet.
Okay.
That's one of the beautiful things about being, you know, after tying hills, that I tend to leave my home, not be bunkered in, and want to do more with family. That's why these things like Operation SAS really do well for the family, not just for the troops themselves.
You used the term that Dale used at breakfast this morning. He teaches at community college, Washtenaw Community College, and he has the young veterans from Iraq, Afghanistan, and he's saying, look, we want to really tell your story. You know, we don't want to just tell our stories. We want to tell your stories. And they said to him, you know, Mr. Thornberry, when we are done with school, we just want to go home and bunker up. And I said, you know, there's a term I haven't heard in so long. And, the kid said it was, I'm sure it was like you guys, you know, all you wanted to do was bunker up at the end of the day. And boy, was he right. And you just used it. That's another thing that people don't understand is how quiet you are when you come back. And this is something that's gotten you on the road again.
Very much so. I mean, when I got back, I wasn't doing well. I wasn't proud of myself. I felt like I had lost a lot with my memory and metal pipe down my back and stuff. And I was very defensive. And, you know, having a wife and three children, all I wanted to do was have them in, you know, bunkering with me inside a home.
Yeah.
I have a wonderful wife that...
If we're going to come back, we've got to leave right now. We'll be right back.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University,
By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
We're back on Veterans Radio. We're talking to Kathy Champion, Army, Joe Perez, Marine, Peter Cabral, Air Force Forward Air Controller. And they were all received injuries while in the service, severe wounds, and took part in something called Operation SAS. We were talking to Joe Perez, and I had to cut you off. You were talking about wanting to bunker up, but that's not the lifestyle of kids. We tend to forget that, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, you're not just taking away from yourself. You, all that extra being in the red alert, bunkering up, transferred to the family and to the kids. You know, you're taking away from their lifestyle, and it's a real sad thing. You know, and especially knowing that they love you and you want the best for them, you need to go out there and seek the help and get the help that you need.
Joe, I want to thank you for being on Veterans Radio. The sound is fading just a bit from your mobile as you travel, so we're going to thank you for being on and let you go on with your trip.
Yeah. Before I leave, I'd like to say my brother was a Vietnam veteran, and to all my Vietnam brothers out there, Vietnam veteran brothers, thank you for being out there. You guys are like our secret service out there. You guys are always there watching over us, and I'm hoping that when I get better and that I can be doing that for the next generation. God bless everybody.
Thank you. That it's very rewarding, and it's a great part of your own healing process to be able to help the other vets. And so there's a lot of Vietnam vets, and there's just a lot of older vets that are listening in right now, and there's a lot of civilians listening in. But you don't have to sit back and, wonder, gee, I wish I could do something like that. Just get involved, Contact a local veterans organization or the local VA hospital or vet center and ask them what you can do. You'll gradually work your way into it. Peter Cabral, what was your thoughts about the banquet at the end of the program, at the end of the 5 days?
Oh, well, apart from the food being amazing, the guy, it was really cool just to see everyone get together for one last time, and especially since we did it at the Amvets Hall. It was so great to come to be all together with them. It truly felt like a brotherhood. It truly felt like almost like a family, like something we all have something in common we'll never forget. And especially since we're all out there, trying to keep each other safe and working as a team, totally. It felt good, again, to be with the team again,
Yes, I do know. That was many, many years before I joined Vietnam Veterans of America, and like a typical Vietnam vet, from the time I started thinking about it, it was 2 years before I joined. And the feeling of being in a room with people that had been there, nobody was talking about it, but the comforting feeling of just being around other veterans just calmed me right down. And I can imagine what, I've gone
honest
to special
to God,
events
yeah.
like you guys went to. I can only imagine what you guys experienced.
Yeah. We had such a wonderful time. I mean, like every single day was a little bit better than the day before. I mean, we were that much closer, and we're having that much more fun, and things, it was really, really great to see things get continuously get better and just move off that much closer by the end. It was really, really a good opportunity.
At our Vietnam Veterans of America meeting the other night, John Kinzinger gave the report on this trip, and I was just fascinated to hear what I knew it was going to be a neat trip. John doesn't do anything unless it's really neat, but I was fascinated hearing the reports on it, and I told John afterwards, we got to immediately have a program and get some of these people on. And as I talked to Kathy and Joe and you last night, I was just grinning from ear to ear listening to your feedback on it and your stories about it. Kathy, you were I'm jumping all over the place. I'm thinking about all the things you told me last night. Tell me what your outstanding thought is, Kathy.
The experience is kind of like being once a soldier, always a soldier, because by the time we got to that last banquet and we're up there in the American Legion and everybody's enjoying our elk chili and we're laughing and joking, and you would have thought that we were best friends our entire lives, that each and every one of us knew each other's secrets, but yet we were still going to be best buddies. And just having that feeling and knowing that we encompass generations from World War II all the way to the present day wars, and yet we had a common bond and we all knew that it was okay to be us and to laugh and to joke and to toast one another and just have a great time. And sometimes civilians don't understand how our bonds can be so strong, but when you walk the walk and you come back to America and you look at someone and you know they've been there, I have an instant connection with that person, and we believe in covering each other's backs and being there for each other no matter what. And that's not a slogan, that's our belief. And I felt tremendously blessed when we were all standing there taking this huge picture of all of us together, knowing that no matter where we go in the world, we each have that memory of each other.
And there was a lot of telephone number exchanging, was there?
Oh, yes, definitely. And a lot of dabbing.
Yeah, tough soldiers, huh?
Yes, definitely.
Peter, what's your most outstanding thought? We're winding down on the program. We've got a few minutes left. What's your most outstanding thought of the week, the 5 days?
Well, that's I got to rock climbing, ice climb again, and then Tim Medves invited me to go climb the Seven Summits. I'm still digesting it. Really, yeah.
Everybody I talked to last night said they're still digesting it. And when I was talking to the three of you last night, I think I talked to each one of you about 45 minutes. My face hurt at the end of it. I was grinning from ear to ear so hard, listening to how enthusiastic you three were. Kathy, tell us, where do you go from here? What's the future? How do you top
My goal is to get my two hotels up and running for my fellow soldiers. My second goal is to make things happen like this for other soldiers and to give them the same treatment that we were given by John and the Operation SAS and Never Forgotten, because having that opportunity to step out of our realities for a while and enjoy each other and be safe is critical, and I want to pay it forward that way too.
How about you, Peter?
Kathy put it so well. She's on point, so on point.
She is. I want to tell you, I've told you guys a little about this last night about John Kinzinger. I keep thinking, as I was talking to you guys, how he got into Vietnam Veterans of America. There was a new chapter being formed, our chapter. He was in a bowling league with another Vietnam vet who already belonged to a Vietnam Veterans of America chapter. And the guy said, hey, there's going to be a new Vietnam Veterans of America chapter in your neighborhood. You ought to join. And John said, why do I want to join an organization like that? You know, I did Vietnam. I don't want to relive it again. And so since that time he joined, he chaired the committee that raised almost $100,000 to build our Vietnam Memorial here in Washtenaw County. And that was while he was managing quality control for six Ford Motor Company plants from Ypsilanti to Mexico. And he put in 2,000 hours on the memorial that year. And since then, he's also become the Veteran of the Year in the state of Michigan. And he's become the Member of the Year for Vietnam Veterans of America out of 52,000 members. And he became the Citizen of the Year here in Ann Arbor for all the work that he does. And like I tell everybody, and you guys all laughed when I said it last night, is he doesn't carry on a conversation with somebody. He recruits. Anytime he's talking to somebody, how does this person fit in our future plans? Kathy and Peter, I want to thank you so much for being on and giving us all smiles and this warm feeling. And welcome home. And for all of you people, tune in next week. We're going to have, doggone it, what's his name? I've forgotten. We're going to have the guy that did a couple programs, documentaries, and the next one is Vietnam, Our Generation. So until then, you are dismissed.
Not all views and opinions expressed on this program reflect the views of Veterans Radio or your local station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.
Veterans, need help with your VA benefit claim? Then call Legal Help for Veterans right now at 800-693-4800. To ensure the best possible chance for success, our attorneys at Legal Help for Veterans are devoted to VA claim appeals, and they will forcefully present your particular case. So make that call today to Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800 for your no-charge consultation.